First Chronicles chapter 22. First Chronicles, the chapter number 22. And we'll read from the opening verse of the chapter. First Chronicles chapter number 22. And beginning our reading at verse number 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God. And this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedars, trees in abundance, for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre, brought much cedar wood to David. David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for an house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his holy word. Let's seek the Lord again in prayer. Christian, pray that God will have a word for your heart, and that the Spirit will apply it even to your soul, and that you'll obey what God would say to you today. Our loving Father, we enter again into thy presence, and we thank thee for all that is taken place in this worship service. We thank thee for prayer that has been offered, praise that has been rendered. We thank thee for the tithe and the offering that has been brought in for the furtherance of thy work. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless, O God, all that has taken place. But now we come to the central act, and how we need the Spirit of God to assist in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word. Oh, send thy Spirit, we pray. Send help from heaven, we ask of thee. Grant, O God, a clear mind in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word, bringing an alertness to our minds, to drive back the devil and all tiredness that would come upon the body at this particular time. And grant, O God, our hearts and our ears to be open to all that God would have to say to us. For we pray these our prayers in and through Jesus' precious name and with an eye to his eternal praise and glory. Amen and amen. Lord, what would thou have me to do? They were the words that formed our text, our motto text for 2017. Words that were spoken by Saul of Tarsus just moments after his conversion to Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. Now, just because we have entered into a new year does not mean that those words are now to be discarded by us. Because daily we ought to be found asking the question, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Such will safeguard us from making many a wrong decision and taking many a wrong turn in our lives. However, whenever God makes us aware of his will, there must then be a doing of that will. The words that the Lord drew my attention to then for this year's motto text, I believe, is the natural follow-on from what we took as our motto text for 2017. They emphasize the next step that we are to take when we come to a knowledge of God's will for our lives. The words I want us to consider are found at the end of the 16th verse of 1 Chronicles chapter 22. They are words of charge that David gave to his son Solomon. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Now, before we come to consider the two main simple truths contained within our text, I want to explain the context in which these words were spoken by King David. Now, King David was grieved. He was grieved that the Ark of the Covenant was dwelling in a makeshift tent while he lived in the palatial surroundings of the royal palace. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1, we read David's lament concerning this sad state of affairs to the prophet Nathan. Though, he said, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Initially, Nathan encouraged David to proceed with his plans to make a permanent dwelling place for the house of God with these particular words, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. However, before the day was over, God sent a message to King David via Nathan the prophet that informed him that he was not to be the man who was to build the house where God was to dwell. The reason for that prohibition, David relates to his son in the chapter that we have read together. If you notice the verse number 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 22, David recalls how the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and thou hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. However, with that prohibition, God gave a promise. God promised David in the following verses, behold, a son shall be born unto thee, a man of rest, and I will give him rest from his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, David was not permitted to build the house of God. However, he was permitted to prepare for the construction of the first temple. And this is what we find him doing here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. You see, David redeems the time. It is what we all are to do, regardless of how many years you may think you have in front of you. There may be more behind you than there are in front of you. And yet, David knowing that he soon would die, David yet still redeemed the time. He prepared for the building of this temple. And so he gathers together the craftsmen and the materials required for this mammoth construction project. Stones and iron and brass and cedar trees are all sourced and acquired for the dwelling place where God would dwell. Nothing was missed. Meticulous and thorough preparation was made with everything set in place for Solomon to see the realization of David's vision. Now, God's willingness to allow David to make even this preparation for the building of God's house was a mercy in and of itself, especially when you come to consider the details of chapter 21. You see, in that chapter, we find David sinning against God. We find David numbering the people. David numbered the people. He was putting his trust, his confidence in his men of war. And so he sent a servant out to number, to take a census of the number of people that were in within the boundaries of the nation of Israel. Now, in and of itself, that possibly was not sinful, but the motive behind it was. You see, David, out of pride, took to the numbering of the people of God, and God knew that that was his motive, and therefore we read in the chapter that swift judgment came upon David for his sin. Yet despite his past failure in chapter 21, we find that God still had a plan and God had still something for David to do, a task for him to perform in chapter number 22. What a lesson that is for us all, that despite our past failures, when such are repented of, God still has something for us to do. What a blessing for us to know that failure is not final with our God. Maybe 2017 saw you failing the Lord in some area of your life. Sin was allowed to go unchecked. You succumb to sin's temptation, and really you haven't spiritually recovered from that low point in your Christian experience last year. Well, take heart. Take heart from this event in the life of David and learn that your failure needs not to be final. Do as David did. Come before the Lord with a similar confession of sin that David came before. If you look at the verse number 8, you'll find of 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you'll find David's confession of sin. I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. If you take such a confession, you'll find that there is mercy with your God. Having made all the preparations that he could make, David now charges his son Solomon in the verse number 11 of 1 Chronicles chapter 22 with these words, "Now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee." Those little words at the end of the verse number 11, "as he hath said of thee." You know, those words remind us that just as Solomon had a specific task assigned to him by God, so God has something specific for each and every one of us to do in his service. As he has said of thee, do it. As God has spoken to you, brother, sister, may there now be a doing of that work, that which God has spoke to you of. It's time to do it. The time for delaying is gone. The time for holding back is gone. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. And from these words I see two things. I see first of all the precept contained in David's charge. The precept contained in David's charge, arise therefore, we're looking at the end of the verse number 16, arise therefore and be doing. Arise therefore and be doing. Those words are a call to action. They are a rallying call. inactivity and lethargy were not to mark the life of Solomon, his son, when it came to the task of forwarding the work of God. Just because his father David had wrought zeal and wrought with zeal, just because David had given liberally when it came to the preparing of the building of God's house, did not mean that his son Solomon could sit back in slothful ease and expect by some divine miracle that this edifice of the building of the temple of God was going to come together of its own accord. The stones were not going to lay themselves. The doors were not going to make themselves. The windows weren't going to make themselves. The roof wasn't going to make themselves. No, Solomon had to arise and be doing. You see, hard work was required. Hard work and effort and sacrifice were all to be expended by Solomon. Even though he was tender, even though he was young, a life of effort and sacrifice and labor were to be expended by Solomon if the dwelling place of God was to be erected. You see, as with any task in life, Solomon was being shown here by his father David that without labor and without work, no good can come or be accomplished. It is the same in your place of employment. You don't put effort, you don't put work in, no good will come. You'll soon get your P45. You'll soon be shown the door. I tell you, child of God, if we did that within the Church of Jesus Christ, how many would be having their P45 at the door today? Arise, therefore, and be doing, child of God. The time for ease, the time for your own pleasure, your time for your own self-interest is gone. It's time to do something for God. 2017, you stayed in your bed of ease. You let others be involved in the work of God. Brethren and sisters, arise, arise and be doing. You know, the task that was assigned to Solomon many centuries ago is akin to our task today. Now, we are not building a physical building or dwelling place for God, but we are to involve ourselves in the building of Christ's church. Now, I'm aware that Christ will build his church. I know the verse well. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But how does God do that? He does it through human instrumentality. Human instruments go out to spread the truth of the gospel whereby sinners are brought to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And by such, the church of Jesus Christ is built. Now when we come to the task then, this year, 2018, to build the church of Christ, we cannot rest on the labors and the victories of some past generation. There were those who labored here in this church before us. They prepared the ground by their prayers and by their tears. They established a testimony, a witness in this town when it was so unpopular to do so. But brethren and sisters, that was their labors. By their labors they have, like David was making for Solomon, they have made preparation for us today that we, by God's help and by God's grace, might take the work to the next stage. And therefore, there is no room for laziness. There is no room for idleness in the work of God. Brethren and sisters, the time for rest is future. We're going to enter our eternal rest. But that's future. The time today is for labor, for work, for toil, for sacrifice when it comes to the work of God. You know, folks, there's some people and they can't even make the sacrifice to come to the gospel service. Arise therefore and be doing. Rise therefore and be doing. So let me ask you, are you doing anything for God? I'll tell you, there are some people and they are doing things, but I tell you, they're not doing things that have God's approval on them. They're individuals, and maybe your doing is sowing discord among the brethren. That's your doing. You're sowing discord among the brethren. That's your doing. There's others, and they're doing. No, what they're doing is they're criticizing the preacher. That's your doing. Well, God knows it. Or maybe your doing is just doing nothing. Maybe you would say, preacher, my doing days are over. I've played my part, I've done my time, I've performed my duty, and I'm just happy to wait for Christ to either come or to call. Did you notice that David's about to die? So David prepared, verse number 5, so David prepared abundantly before his death. You see, he realized that the future of God's work depended on him working now. Needing to work now. No, child of God, there's always something that you can do, even in the sunset years of life. There's always something to do. So arise and be doing. Now, who do we take as our example in this doing? Well, in all things, we take Christ as our example. Is he not the model worker that we should imitate in the work of God? When God the Father said to his Son, arise therefore and be doing, did the Son say no? Did the Son decide to stay in heaven? No. When he was called, when he was encouraged, when he was exhorted by the Father to arise therefore and be doing, the eternal Son of God arose from his throne of glory and he took that journey of descent into the virgin's womb when the fullness of time has come. As a 12-year-old boy, remember he was only 12. Some of you are 12. As a 12-year-old boy, he said to his earthly guardians, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? As a 12-year-old, he was working for God. Later he would say in John 5, verse 17, my Father worketh here hitherto, and I work. John 9, verse 4, he declared, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. The Apostle Peter summarizes the ministry of Christ over there in Acts 10 in the verse 38 when he said concerning the Savior, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing. Now there is the adjective added, good. But he went about doing. And he healed all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. You see, Jesus Christ, and I say this respectfully, and I say it reverently, Jesus Christ was no layabout. He was not idle. When it came to the work of God, he knew what it was to toil and to labor. He came to do the Father's will. Now, Christ is our example when it comes to the work ethic that should be in the church of Jesus Christ and among God's people. Christ is the example, not the minister. The minister is as lazy as you are. The minister on the Wednesday night sometimes doesn't want to come to the prayer meeting. And I would say that if I wasn't in the ministry, possibly I'd be sitting at home just like you. I get lazy. But Christ is our great example. Laboring and toiling and serving his Father and doing the Father's will. Oh, since Christ is our example, then we need to get up. And we need to get at the work of God in this year. You know, workers are always needed in God's work. Workers are always needed. For example, the call of a Sunday school and the need for a Sunday school teacher or teachers went forth from this pulpit a few months ago. Do you know how many people came forward from our communicant membership to serve the Lord in this way? Not one. Not one. Not one communicant member came forward as yet to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. Not one. Arise therefore and be doing. Arise and be doing. Children's meeting helpers are always needed. Needed to sit in the bus. That call went out. Do a memory verse. Take a Bible lesson. Personally, I feel that our brother, Mr. Laverty, could do with another faithful adult in our youth fellowship to encourage our young people. I personally feel that. We have the gospel mission planned for April. Workers will be needed to knock doors, to deliver invitations, put up posters. The children's Bible clubs in the summer will all need workers there. People to be on the bus, people to drive the bus, individuals to participate in the meetings. Oh, that every individual, and I speak to every individual. I don't want you to be passing this down the line to someone down the pew. I speak to every young person, every adult, every senior person in this congregation. Oh, that we would all hear the rallying cry, arise therefore and be doing. Folks, can I say this? I'll say it anyway. The Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses or the Russellites, whatever you want to call them, have no problem in sourcing workers for their endeavors. And they spread another gospel. But when it comes to God's work, where are the laborers? Where are they? I'll tell you where they are. They're lying in their beds or they're lying in an armchair. Arise therefore and be doing. Scott Pauley is a faithful evangelist in America. And he said this, the thing that ought to excite us. Do you think what excites you? Do you think some football score, does that excite you? Some rugby score, does that excite you? Well, he said, this is the thing. The thing that ought to excite us is the fact that we get to be part of the greatest thing going on planet Earth today, which is God's work in this world. He says God's intention is that all who know the truth, feel it their responsibility to tell all those who do not know. Do you feel that responsibility, child of God? Do you feel the responsibility to tell out the good news of the gospel? There will be people that you will meet outside the walls of this church that will never come to this church to hear this preacher or any other preacher preach. And so we need to personally take the responsibility to ourselves to make Christ known. Christ known. Now, this charge of David that we have in the word arise is a very telling term, because it tells us and it reveals to us the state of Solomon at this particular time within his life. For Solomon to arise, he must either have been adopting a sitting or a lying position. And such a position is connected with ease and with comfort. But Solomon was to arise from his ease and comfort. He was to be aroused from his spiritual sleep. And he was to get to the work assigned to him by God. Oh, how often we allow ourselves to slip into a state of ease and comfort when it comes to the work of God. Life's pressures, work commitments, family responsibilities, school assignments, household chores would all persuade us to take it easy when it comes to involving ourselves in God's work. Now, while I admit those things must be tended to, can't just forget about your homeworks, young people. Can't just forget about the household chores, mother. While they must be tended to, it is my prayer that in 2018 that we will all rise as one. As one. And give ourselves to the work of the Master. Though gifts and abilities may vary among us, and they do, there is something that we can do. A part that we can play, a place in the wall that we can occupy. And so let us arise and be doing. The promotion to glory of some saints of God in the years since my coming to Port Nolan means that their seat is now empty in the prayer meeting. The pew that they once sat in the Sunday services has now one less person sitting in it. Their feet are no longer employed in the gospel outreach, but the question is, who will arise and fill their place? Who will rise this year? Who will rise and fill their seat? Who will fill their shoes? Who'll take over the work that those people left off? Who will make up the hedge? Who will stand in the gap? Who will arise and be doing in this new year? I want you to notice for this work, and our first point is the longest point, so don't panic. I want you to notice for this work, the building of God's house, we have it here pictured in a physical sense, but I speak of it spiritually. This building of God's house, I want you to notice that for that to prosper in the hand of Solomon, God gave Solomon two things. Two things that this congregation needs if the work of God is to go forward in 2018. The first thing that God granted Solomon that enabled the work to progress was rest, peace, and quietness. Solomon had nothing to distract him as he came to the building of the house of the Lord. God made sure that all the distractions, God made sure that all those petty issues that could have diverted the king's mind were put to bed. Were put to bed. Note the promise God gave King David in verse 9. Behold, a son shall be born unto thee, who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel all his days. You know, David uses this argument of rest, peace, tranquility in the nation to encourage Israel's princes to come on board and to help Solomon in this great task. Notice the verses 17 through to 19 of the chapter. David commanded all the princes to help Solomon the son, saying, is not the Lord God with you? Hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of the Lord into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. Notice, hath he not given you rest on every side? Here David's using this argument. He's already said to Solomon, I've given you rest. Promise a son would be given. No more battles, no more war. I'm going to give you rest. And now he's encouraging the princes and saying, has God not given you rest on the side, on every side? In other words, you may think your work is done. You've subdued the nations. Not so. The work changes in nature, but it's still work. The work changes in nature. Oh, there's no battles without, but there's building. There needs to be building. This is what every congregation needs, including this congregation. We need days of peace. We need days of rest and days of quietness. Days when God's people love one another, when they esteem each other better than themselves. When petty issues are not made into divisive issues. When the minister can just get on with feeding his own soul so that he might in turn feed your soul. Brethren and sisters, let's pray that this year and the years beyond are days of rest, peace, and quiet. in this house. May God not, may you not be the person that brings such unrest into the work of God that the work of God is hindered in this new year. The second thing that God gave Solomon that enabled the work to progress was wisdom and understanding. Verse 12, the words of David to Solomon, "Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. Give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God." Is wisdom, is understanding not necessary for the advancement of God's work? Of course it is. Not earthly wisdom, but heavenly wisdom. Every ministry needs God's wisdom in taking God's work forward as one. You know, the children's work is not a separate ministry of this church. It's part of the whole. Neither is the youth work to be seen as a separate ministry, or the Sunday school, or the Bible class. They are not separate entities. They are part of the whole. And they need to go forward as the whole. And we need wisdom for that. So pray then that God will give wisdom and understanding. Wisdom from session level down to you in the pew. Wisdom and understanding. Such was granted. Solomon became the wisest king because he saw his need of such wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. We need God for wisdom. We need God to take the work forward. We need wisdom to do so. And so, brethren and sisters, now is the time to arise and to be doing. And that doing is to be governed by God's wisdom. Not only do we have the precept contained in David's charge, and we close with this short thought, we have the promise annexed to David's charge. Yes, Solomon was to arise and be doing. Not only Solomon, but the princes of Israel were to join Solomon in his labors. We have read that, we have shown you that, the verse 17 down to the end. The princes were to join Solomon in this task of building the temple of God. And that truth reminds us that the building of Christ's church never rises or falls on one man's effort. It never rises or falls on one man's effort. It is a team effort. All God's people are to be involved. The success of any ministry is not dependent on a minister. Certainly not. It is dependent on all of God's people arising and doing something for Him. But let me add this caveat. I want to remind you that it was not David's past preparations. It wasn't Solomon's organizational abilities or skills. It wasn't the willingness of the princes to help. Neither was it the number of workmen available or the resources that were to hand that was to be the means whereby success was going to be enjoyed in this building project. It wasn't man, it wasn't resources, it wasn't ability, it wasn't skill. The only reason why Solomon was going to succeed in raising the temple, and who was he going to raise the temple for? Verse 19, the last words, to the name of the Lord. The only reason why that was going to be successful, he was going to be successful, was the fact that God was going to be with him. God was going to be with him. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. That's the key to prosperity and blessing in God's work. God with us. God with us. This promise of God's presence was a repetition of what David had already said to Solomon in verse 11. Now therefore, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. When a man or woman, when a young person steps out in faith to do God's will, they find this to be true. Whatever the task is, they find it to be true that God is with them. God is with them. Maybe there's someone here and God has been speaking to you about the need in the Sunday school, but you've been hesitant to come forward because you may feel that yourself not to be the most gifted or talented of individuals. But let this word of promise stir you to action. Arise therefore and be doing. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you. Maybe there's someone else and God has been dealing with you about service. Part-time, full-time service, but you're afraid to take the step without a clear word from God. Maybe you came to this meeting house tonight, I don't know. Maybe this morning you were found in your closet and you said to the Lord, out of desperation, Lord, speak to me about this matter once and for all. Lord, I need to hear from you today. Well, is this not a word? Arise therefore and be doing. The Lord be with thee. Matthew Henry remarked, we must rise and be doing, and if we do this, we have every reason to believe that God is and will be with us. As John Wesley lay dying, he attempted to communicate to those gathered around his dying bed. However, they were, even themselves, who were so familiar with his voice, they were unable to decipher what he was saying. One who was present at that scene wrote concerning Mr. Wesley, finding we could not understand what he said, he paused a little, and then with all the remaining strength he had, cried out, and best of all, God is with us. And then, as if to assert the faithfulness of our promise-keeping Jehovah and comfort the hearts of his weeping friends, lifting up his dying arm in a token of victory and raising his feeble voice with a holy triumph not to be expressed again, repeated the heart-reviving words, the best of all is, God is with us. May we find that to be so. We will find that to be so when we arise and be doing. We will find that God will be with us. Oh, may God then use this motto text as a stimulus for greater exploits for God in 2018 by every person who sits before me in the pews today. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. May God help us to do his will, even in this new year. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our loving Father, we bow before thee. Oh, what a challenge this is to our own hearts, Father. Help us arise and be doing. Help us as we come to this evening. Help us to arise and be doing. As we come, O God, to the Wednesday night prayer meetings, as we come to the open air, O God, let us arise and be doing. As we come to the children's meeting, the youth work, let us arise and be doing. The Sunday school, Bible class, all the endeavors in the gospel, Lord, help us to be doers. Help us to be involved in God's work. For there's a crown for the faithful worker. There's reward. And best of all, God is glorified. And God's church is built. Oh, for our rising as one from this congregation. Let us be doing that which has God's blessing on it. and forsaking that which has not God's hand on it. Help us, Father. Help the challenge to be heard beyond the ear today and right into the heart. Let the word resonate in every soul. Lord, we cry to thee that thou wilt help us by the end of next year, this year, to be found in the closing moments of it in thy will, that we're still in God's work. We're still involved in it. We're still laboring for thee. Give us grace to continue. Help us to live for God, we pray. Grant, O God, that desire ever to be found in thy courts. We pray these are prayers in and through Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. Thank you.